Welcome to the show, y'all. It's the Cave of Solitude. Send a shout out to the crew of Inside the City. We like kings reading hieroglyphs. I bring the rage like Luke Cage. Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude. I am your host, Eric Anthony, and we are back in the second lair, Cyber City Comics. And of course, we are with the boys from the bunker. State your name, introduce yourselves again to the people.
Jazz and
Ronnie.
And this time we've switched the seating arrangement so that Jazz won't be shouting into the microphone as much.
He's still gonna be shouting in the microphone.
Yeah. We gotta sit him across the other side of the room this time. We can hear him just right. How you guys doing?
Pretty good. Yeah. Busy.
You're doing all right. Waiting for the weekend.
Weekend starts tomorrow.
Exactly. Waiting for the weekend.
What's new and exciting in your lives? What's happening in the store? What have you guys been? Nothing.
Same stuff, different day.
Have you seen any new trailers, perhaps, that have come out?
Assassin's Creed.
I still haven't seen.
Accountant? Oh, Accountant looks so good. Accountant,
I know.
But that's out in the theaters now.
I know. I still want to watch it.
Okay. What I'm referring to are trailers, new trailers.
Oh yeah, that's right. Guardians of the Galaxy trailer came out too.
I didn't know any of these things. I watched Logan today.
Yeah.
And then right after that, the Guardians of the Galaxy loaded. I'm like, when did this happen? Where have I been? And then I knew that Rogue One had come out. Did you guys see Rogue One trailer?
Yeah, I saw the trailer.
Which one are you most excited for?
I don't know.
Logan.
How about you, Jay?
Star Wars.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you been reading any of the comics?
I'm reading Vader.
Is that the only one?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Everything I've read so far has been really good.
Well, I mean, everybody in Vader pretty much died.
Hey, man.
Spoilers.
I'm waiting for that.
It takes place between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back.
I know, but I've read like the first 12 issues of it, and I'm trying to save the rest. This guy, oh, they all die. Okay, thanks.
Wait, how long is it going on?
Oh, they're all expendable.
It's 25 issues.
Oh.
It's just finished. It just finished.
A whole chunk.
Yeah.
That's like almost half.
Yeah.
Well, every character that they introduce is pretty much expendable, right? So... you don't see them in Empire Strikes
Back. You don't go into a Star Wars book thinking that, though.
But it crosses.
I do.
But it crosses over with the other Star Wars books, right?
And then people die.
People die, man.
That's the thing. People die.
So don't bother reading it because people die. Did you like it, Jazz?
Yeah, it was great.
That was great. Okay. Is there anything you haven't read yet? Did you read Clone Conspiracy number one? I'll tell you what happened
sure,
if you want to know.
Sure,
do it. Revenge.
I don't care as much about Spider-Man.
Actually, that book looks really good. Like, the art in it's fantastic.
I'm not going to read it, so.
Why not? You're not into Spider-Man no more?
He's not into Peter Parker. He's into 2099 crap.
Okay, but 2099 is awesome, all right?
Yeah, it is. It looks awesome.
I've been liking Dan Slott's Spider-Man. I know a lot of people are kind of like... hit and miss, but I don't know, maybe because I met Slott at the
like
expo.
Like you said, it's pretty much just like how he was when he was a kid, except he's dealing with real world problems rather than taxes and how much he's going to make next week.
Yeah.
It's a real world problem.
Not really. He's got a limited amount of money. Well, he's got his own company.
They did a, what could be... I don't know if it's how much of a impact it's going to make with fandom, but he's kind of retconned the death of Gwen Stacy. But not
I'll just watch that or read that just to see.
But
what
not,
he does again.
But not in a way that makes it changes. Doesn't retcon it in a way like that's implausible or that doesn't make any sense. It's actually like, yeah, that could have happened, and he doesn't change any of the. Like they retell a story at the end of Clone Conspiracy, with Ron Frenz art, which is really cool because it's like old school feel to it.
Yeah,
and it does almost panel for panel what happens, but then from another perspective, the fact that was she actually completely knocked out unconscious while they're having that fight. So let's say that Gwen Stacy, during that fight on the Brooklyn Bridge or whichever bridge it was, she's disoriented, but she can hear Goblin and Spidey having that banter, and she realizes at that point of her death that Peter is actually Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So she dies angry with him.
And she comes back as the Crow.
Or
I'd watch the hell out of that.
But that's the thing, that with the clone conspiracy, obviously people are coming back. So yeah. If Gwen comes back with that knowledge of Peter, she still blames him for whatever happened to her father dying, right? So it's making for an interesting return.
Kind of sold on that now.
It's actually it's got an interesting premise. It could be good. The only thing with the issue, like, I really love the art, like the sequentials, everything about it was gorgeous, Jim Chung art, but the dialogue a little bit was moving at a pace where things were just happening, like, oh, okay, that's how we get from here to there. It was kind of convenient for the sake of pacing the story, so that was the only thing I was kind of like, I don't know, but we'll see. Yeah. And it's a weird setup, because you still have to read Amazing.
Yeah.
Along with the miniseries, which is kind of annoying for me, but that's what I read this week. It was fun. Check it out. Check the art out.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I like Jim Chung.
Yeah, the art's really nice.
Did you ever read Young Avengers?
No, you told me about that, though.
So good. So good.
Yeah. not the one that was done by...
Kieran Gillen. Yeah, it's the Alan Heinberg run. Okay. I've seen the trades at BMV here and there. I know, like, that series is entirely out of print.
What else have I read? Can't remember anything else I've read. I'm not taking the train anymore to work. I have to drive half hour.
Yeah, that's right.
So a lot of my reading is like, I got, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I'm like, man, I miss reading all my books. They're piling up really bad.
Well, it's the worst when you're like, you come home, you see the books, and you're like, I'm gonna read. 5 minutes later.
I'll play video games instead. Watching baseball, which is now over, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You didn't care for that, right?
No, I saw it. I just...
Yeah. Moving on to things that make us happy.
Cage.
Luke Cage. You guys, I said in the last episode with Dav J that I would save all of my remarks and talking about it with you because... Well, what did you think of it, Jazz?
Oh, I thought it was amazing. Okay. It was so good.
That's what I was waiting for.
Wait. Gotta make the tally mark.
Ronnie's gonna mark how many times Jazz says that this time around. If we got a dollar for every time he said it.
Oh, my God.
That would be amazing. An
amazing jar in Cyber City?
Rather than a swear jar?
Have you ever seen that show New Girl? You know that with...
Yes.
Okay. So there's one of the characters who... He says, like, real douchey things, and every time he does, he has the douche jar. He has to put a dollar in it. We should get one of those for Jazz.
Yeah.
The Oh My God jar. Okay, awesome. So getting into Luke Cage. Yes. Is this the fourth? Third character.
Yeah.
But this is the fourth season of a...
Marvel series.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And for you guys, where does it rank amongst the ones that have come out yet? Or should I save that till the end? Nah, you tell me now.
For me, it'd have to go Daredevil, Cage, and then Jessica Jones. In terms of shows, not seasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's hard because first I gotta pick between season 1 and 2 of Daredevil.
Right.
And then put, like, I know it's Daredevil, for me it's Daredevil, then Luke Cage. But where do I put Luke Cage? Do I put him in between the two seasons? Or do I just... It's meh. So for now, I'm just going to say Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones.
Okay. Now, we talked about this a few episodes ago about Iron Fist and Luke Cage. But just backtracking, going into this, how much did you guys know about the character? Like, have you read anything?
I knew, like, a good chunk about Cage going in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had to search a few things up, and I'm just like, how come this sounds familiar? Like, oh, yeah, I remember reading that here. All right.
And that's it.
And yeah, that was it. Then I'd be like, all right.
But this show has been the most exposure and, like, information that you've gained about the character. Would you say?
They're able to really grasp, like, a lot of the... school concepts that they had going, because a lot of it was based off of, like, Cage's first series.
Yes.
Like, all the early Cage stuff.
Yes.
So that's why I was like, I think it should be pretty good. It has that kind of 70s groove to it, like, that feel to it.
Right.
Right? And
You think it has a 70s feel to
it? Yeah, just a bit.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah.
With all the flashbacks, even just, like, the fact that, it, like, a lot of it has to do with the club, and just, like, running around the streets. There's, like, just a lot of, like, you know, interacting with not just characters, but it's a lot of, like, talking with the community.
Right. How about you, Ronnie? How much exposure did you have to Cage?
Enough to know about, like, how he got his powers, the fact that before he got them, he was running with a gang, and some of those members ended up becoming, like, his major enemies. Major villains, like Comanche and them. So I'm surprised I didn't see him this season, but, I mean, I guess there are more seasons to come. And what I really liked about Luke Cage was that, so I you do get a bit of that old school feel, the really close knit community and everything, but there are times where I can see that they're trying to make it a little more modern, or to stick to the whole modern thing, but there are times when, like, when he's, spoilers, if anyone's not there yet.
No, spoilers throughout this whole thing. Like, yeah. If you haven't seen the show, don't listen to this, because we're going to talk about it randomly and spoil things. So go ahead, spoil away.
There's a moment where he walks into a convenience store, and Method Man's in there, and he's getting held up. And the guy's shooting at him, and he's like, yeah.
Sorry, Daryl, spoilers.
He's like,
Totally Method Man's in it.
He's like, give me your phone. He's like, and the guy just starts shooting at him as a reaction because he knocked out his buddy. And the guy just starts shooting at him. He's like, the phone, fool. And he's like, slaps him in the back of the head. I'm like, there's Luke Cage. And when he starts saying things like that, and when he's using more slang terms and stuff like that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do that a lot because of the fact that it's like, okay, more modern day present stuff. But those times where he breaks out, I love it even more just because of that. It's like, that's where you get deep cuts true to the character Luke Cage, though.
Yeah, I mean, you got the Sweet Christmas drop
quite
a number of times.
That's what I love. You get the Sweet Christmas, but those times, because of the fact that he doesn't always talk like that.
Yeah.
When he does kind of like, when you see the ghetto come out, then you're just like, ah, there you go. And you kind of appreciate it a little more just because you don't see it every time.
Yeah. Right. See, for me, I had exposure to Luke Cage from reading the Iron Fist and Jessica Jones miniseries and seeing him pop up in, you know, certain Avenger books, but nothing where I knew enough going in where I had an expectation of, here's what I want to see. I felt that when I watched Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think I like Daredevil so much, because I had gone through a whole kick of reading the Frank Miller and all that stuff. So I had a very clear idea of, in order for this to be good, it has to have these elements. When I watched Luke Cage, I just liked him from Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
I knew that it was going to have a hip-hop element, which I loved.
Yeah.
Especially because it had, like, that 90s hip-hop feel. And I loved it being in Harlem and New York and all of the setting that he's in.
Yeah.
But then as I'm watching the show, I'm the type of guy that while I watch and someone pops up on the screen, I'm like, oh, that. Let me see who that person is in his mythology or his continuity. Are they a real person? Are they made up? Are they going to...
Yeah.
Sometimes you spoil it for yourself because you're like, oh, this is going to happen or this is supposed to happen to them. Or, you know, that person is just made up.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I'm watching it and I'm seeing how many things that they're doing and sticking true as best as they can, because you really, if they didn't, who would know with Luke Cage? It's not like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right? People wouldn't know the difference.
There's just they stuck really close to the book.
Yeah.
Really, really close. Like, even down to, like, Diamondback's suit.
I couldn't believe how, like...
Because I was like, I looked at him, because when I heard Diamondback, I'm like, he sounds familiar. And I searched him up, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, he's this really cheesy villain that has this really cheesy getup. And, like...
It works.
Like, right at the end, it was just this cheesy getup, but it worked.
So how did you guys find the storytelling pacing of the episodes? I want to try to see if we can attack the show in some type of an organized fashion.
Yeah.
But, like, as far as the sequence of the story was going, was it well-paced for you?
I thought it was
Some people thought like the first episode was a little slow, just setting things up, like just get through the first, and by the second one it starts going. Yeah. How did you guys find it? Were you immediately?
I was like, once it started rolling and like the credits were rolling, I'm like, I'm down with this.
I think you're just down with it because you know Iron Fist is coming next.
No, I was down with it because
me too.
It was...
Me too.
You're like, this, we gotta watch this to get like, Iron Fist.
That's... This is a great setup for Iron Fist. Oh my god, it's amazing.
When are we gonna see Danny Rand? Is Danny Rand gonna be there? Is he gonna pop up?
I was waiting too.
Yeah.
I saw Misty Knight. I'm like, oh, is she gonna get her arm ripped off? That'd be amazing.
Oh yeah, when they put the tourniquet, because when you put a tourniquet on you, if it's there for too long, you gotta amputate the arm. Yeah. I'm just sitting there like, cut it off.
They kept mentioning that. I didn't see. I knew Misty Knight was in the comics.
Yeah.
And that she was a character in their world, but I didn't know that she had a bionic arm. So it was actually my wife who was like, cut off the arm. They should cut it off. And then I look it up. I'm like, yeah, she actually has a bionic arm. That's wicked that they're going to do that. But they didn't. Yeah. Spoilers, which I was kind of... Or do you think that they did?
I think they might have to.
Yeah.
It's never mentioned, but there's no way that if her arm was in such bad shape that in the next scene, she'd be without the...
Yeah, she'd just kind of
She'd be fine,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, because she has an artery, like, severed, right?
Yeah.
And basically what it was is to keep the blood from spilling out, they kind of like close it or kind of attach it temporarily.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can't just fix a severed artery like that, right? So you lose too much blood and stuff, you're going to lose like a little bit of control. It's not going to be the same.
Yeah.
So cut it off.
So the, in regards to the synopsis of the story... what the plot was and what the actual issues were.
Yeah.
Did you feel like the stakes were high enough? Did you feel like it mattered to you? That's one thing with these shows that when you really think about Daredevil, Hell's Kitchen is about the size of a quarter in New York.
Like, yeah.
It's not big, but you watch it and it feels like this is the whole city being taken over by Kingpin. When really, when they say, oh, it's the kitchen, Hell's Kitchen, it's a couple blocks.
Yeah.
And you really put, right? But Harlem is a much bigger section area, of New York. So did the first villain of the story, or the antagonist in Cottonmouth, how did you guys feel about that? Because I feel like the show is split in two.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
It's like the first act and then there's the second act.
Yeah.
So I felt like first act, let's talk about that. Didn't really stand as much of a antagonist as much as Diamondback did. Like, yeah, he caused problems.
You're
for...
You're thinking fighting terms.
No, but he caused problems for the community, but it wasn't like, it didn't get ridiculously messy until Diamondback showed up, right?
Yeah.
No, I felt like he ran the community. Like, Harlem was Cottonmouth. That was his stomping grounds. Now, Luke Cage slowly taking out his operations, that's messing with his livelihood. Like, that's what he built Harlem into.
Yeah.
That's why I felt like it was more personal for Cottonmouth.
Well, especially because Luke Cage is, he comes off as a man of the people, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing in it for him as far as what he gains personally from it. But in the comics, he was hero for hire, right? Originally. Yeah. So he basically, whoever hired him, he did it for the money.
Yeah.
Did you guys want to see that in this, or were you kind of like, no. Well, that's not really Luke Cage. Luke Cage would do it for the money.
I want to see how they go into him needing to be a hero for hire.
You think they'll do that?
Probably for the second season.
Yeah, I think this is just your establishment of Luke Cage. Then you'll start to see reasons why, he needs to get paid somehow. I mean, his bar blew up. Yeah. Pops got shot. He's not running the barbershop anymore. Like, he needs income somewhere.
Yeah.
Man still got to eat, so.
So, in regards to the first half, let's stick with that for a second. Cottonmouth versus the Diamondback. You prefer Diamondback's arc. How about you? What do you feel, Ronnie? And get your take on that. Did you like the...
I like what was going on with Cottonmouth, right? But I liked some of the stuff that happened when Diamondback was there. Like, you got to see Black Mariah kind of show her being Black Mariah.
I think she, for me, is the villain that I like the best.
Yeah.
Out of everything. She's the
slippery thing that Luke Cage can't grab onto.
Yeah. She's the thing, that makes the show hold weight. Because the relationship between her and Cottonmouth in the beginning, like, this show, what I really liked about, what stood out for me, was the commentary that they had on the community, how it relates to the world we live in today.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like this politician,
yeah,
who is in bed with the criminal underground in order for her to better her community. She doesn't want to associate with it. She wants to completely, like, I'm not of this world.
Yeah.
When deep down, she's just fighting.
Off the records. It's like, right? He's my brother, though.
But she knows that she uses them in order for her to get to her goal, which is an interesting commentary, really, on, especially in this day and age, right?
Yeah.
How much corruption is actually happening with a politician and some other outside or within their own circle. What are they using from them to get to and their means? So she was, I feel like, the villain that really stuck everything together. Her relationship with Cottonmouth, I thought, was really interesting. And when they do that backstory,
yeah,
mm-hmm, of the two of them and seeing how they come up, and all of these movies, though, do a great job of doing, like, exposition on the villain and not just being like, they're a piece of garbage, they're a villainy, they're evil. No, like, what brought this person to become like this? Because neither of them, the both of them wanted to be something different. Just like the Purple Man was kind of manipulated into becoming messed up.
Yeah.
Or Kingpin was driven to something. You know, all these things.
Yeah.
I really like that they showed now with Cottonmouth and Black Mariah. And then when Cottonmouth was no longer in the season, when he gets killed,
mm-hmm,
she's still the link,
yeah,
to everything. You know who I think was a standout was Shades.
Yeah.
I love Shades.
He was great.
I love,
yeah,
Shades.
My favorite scene with him was when he got arrested. He just kept asking for his lawyer.
Yeah. I was talking to Jazz about that like a couple weeks
fantastic
back. Law here.
With that grin. Like,
he even like makes up a whole story. He's like, oh yeah, I was there. Yeah, he killed her. Oh, and someone else was there. Who was it? Law. Here.
Yeah, he was good.
That was great.
At first, I was like, who's this punk?
Yeah.
How am I supposed to believe that this guy?
Yeah. Is,
but as the show went on, I'm like, he's slick. I like,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Like, he knows. This isn't his first rodeo.
I really like Cottonmouth's Club, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Harlem's
sick.
Harlem's Paradise?
It had... Dope. Yeah, in his office. There's
the
that
big Biggie picture.
Well, when that shot that they do when he walks into it with the,
yeah,
crown.
Yeah,
his, yes,
crown is on his head. Yeah,
yeah,
that was dope.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And I actually liked his performance.
As Cottonmouth?
Not so much as... Yes, as Cottonmouth, but the way he approached being a villain.
Yeah.
I felt like Diamond Black was... He definitely had the intensity... Diamondback, sorry. Dap J got to me.
There you go.
Yeah, Diamondback. I'll call him Black Diamond instead. Diamondback. I felt sometimes he was a little bit too colorful for what the show was. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes,
yeah.
That was the part that sometimes threw me off a little bit. It was a little too over the top.
He was the wild card.
A little bit.
Yeah, that's what I liked about him.
Okay.
Yeah. He was like, oh, you just randomly do that. Oh, okay.
The thing all I right appreciated about Diamondback was, well, I had to be careful for myself.
Did it.
Diamondback is that, like, he actually got his hands dirty more often than, say, like, Cottonmouth.
Yeah, and he's the big guy, too.
Yeah. And, I mean, like, if I was thinking, like, criminal-wise, I'd want to run for someone that, yes, he could, like, he's got that business mentality and everything. He's getting everything in check, but he's not afraid to go out there and get his hands bloody. Yeah, Cottonmouth did that once in a while and, like, shot the cop and whatnot. But, I mean,
yeah,
you need an even balance.
Yeah.
That was the thing that threw me off, because the way they would talk about Cottonmouth when he wasn't on the screen yet, you're like, this is a mastermind. This is a guy who is orchestrating something behind the scenes? Is it somebody who's there that we don't know that it's him?
You're like, why is everyone so afraid of this guy?
Yeah. So I'm thinking this guy is in deep with either Justin Hammer, and he's got these connections. He's almost like a kingpin where there's no way to connect him to anything. But then when he does show up, it's like he's just making things up on the fly. And I'm like, I wasn't expecting him to be like this. Maybe my expectations of him were something they shouldn't have been. But I loved Cottonmouth's, you know, when he would, you know, shoo someone away and just
with
his hands. He wouldn't even say stuff. But when he did get intense, you always felt like, I knew that would happen based on his, that's consistent.
Yeah.
When he threw his second in command off the roof, that was crazy.
That was a good scene too.
Like, oh, it was a great scene. But
the performance was great.
Yeah, exactly.
Special guest appearance by Turk.
Love that.
Turk was the best. That.
Yeah.
I'm surprised his hands are okay. Like,
he's been through it.
Yeah.
That's Turk's right. Been... He crushed his hands on the truck. I remember that.
Jesus Christ.
Turk's been through it. He's in every. He's the one that's connected to every series, right? He was in Jessica Jones as well.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't remember where he showed up, but I remember him being there.
Yeah.
I like that guy. I like him. I like this Turk better than the one that's in the comics. The one that's in the comics just always got thrown through the Josie's bar.
Yeah, he always got beaten up.
But yeah, Daredevil just beat him up every issue. But this one actually has a little bit of finagling where he can get what he wants sometimes.
I love that moment where he sees how everything's going down. He's like, oh, hell no, I'm going back to Hell's Kitchen. It's like, screw this.
Where's my money? Your money's down there with that guy.
Yeah.
I'm going back to Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, peace and
you guys are wild. the people that they cast for, what'd you think of the casting itself?
I thought it was great. You know, people are actually complaining about Luke Cage.
What are they complaining about now?
What are they saying?
Okay, well, other than the fight scenes, they're just like,
oh my god,
like the fight scenes aren't as good. I'm just like, well, he's just a straight brawler.
See, this is what Marvel gets for putting stuff like Daredevil out, then Jessica Jones out, with someone who has superpowers and knows how to fight.
Yeah.
And then someone like, and then bang, here's Luke Cage. Bulletproof, doesn't really need to know how to fight, cause he's bulletproof, his indestructible skin, slap you, you're unconscious, what do you expect?
Like, I kind of get what they're saying, because the Daredevil fight scenes are so, they're like art. Like they're artistically choreographed, but to the point where it's so believable. It's
realistic.
Like, you feel like, oh my goodness, that looks like that hurt.
Yeah.
And
which it does.
Yes, of course it does. But the way, like, you know, sometimes you watch it in other movies and it's, you know, choreographed and you feel like, okay, he didn't, like, you know, it's but in the Daredevil, you feel like, man, he's really tired.
Yeah.
That's like when Batman fights in certain movies, you're like, he just keeps going. Does he not take a breath?
Yeah.
He just stands there like he conquered the world. Whereas Daredevil's like, his hands are hanging off to his side. Then you feel his struggle. Yeah. So with this one, I was a little bit underwhelmed with some of the fight scenes in with Luke Cage, because it looked a little bit more, not choreographed, but what's the word? You could see that the punches were like pulled, or like people pretended to be hit. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, if you want the fighting for Luke Cage to be nice, put him against someone like Diamondback. That last fight scene was great because it was like, okay, he doesn't have to hold back as much. Whereas, like, if he punched a normal guy like that, his fist would just go right through him.
I like the story better than the fight scenes. The fight scenes, like, even when they did that, you know, it seems like every Marvel Netflix show has to have that hallway or stairwell scene and tight quarters where you're fighting a bunch of people. Oh,
that that one
single take?
Shot fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they kind of tried to do this. I like the music they played.
Yeah.
When he throws on the Wu-Tang before he goes into the.
Yes.
What was that place called again? I forget now. It was like his fortress, right? Oh, it was named after a historic guy that.
I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. I forget now. But
what, they played it on that ODB?
Was it? I think it was Wu-Tang.
No, it was straight Wu-Tang. It was Bring the Ruckus.
Yeah. And it was cool. I'm like, oh, they're going to get it. Like, we're going to actually see, you're going to see him throw some people around, right?
Yeah.
I would have almost preferred him to, like, when he did punch someone that they did just go flying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when he picks up the couch, it just looks like, I'm like, really? When he threw it out the window, I'm like, yeah.
That's great, yeah.
To go with what he's known for. But sometimes it was kind of like, I don't know, it seemed kind of 90s in when impact would be made. But I would, when he was fighting in jail, now that was, that seemed more.
That was great.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But that he didn't have power yet, right?
Yeah.
The technicality and everything.
Did you like him as Luke Cage?
Yeah, I thought he was great.
I liked him in, when I saw him in Jessica Jones, I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
He looks perfect.
I was sold on like the first, like when they did the bar fight scene in Jessica Jones, I was sold on his performance in that.
Yeah, no, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was good. That was good.
Yeah. This guy cracked a ball over his head. He's just like, come on, man. Turns around and just smacks him in the face.
It's almost like the fight scenes would have been better to see people lay a beating on him.
Yeah.
And to see him just do like one shot to each to kind of exemplify what this guy, the damage he can do.
Yeah.
Because when you see him get hit and the bones break, or, you know, a bottle breaks on him and he doesn't budge, or he's getting shot and he just kind of like takes the impact.
Yeah.
That's kind of cooler than when he's actually fighting.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever watch Rocky V? You ever watch any of the Rocky movies with Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah, I watched Rocky. I don't think I watched Rocky V, though.
Don't watch Rocky V.
First and second, I think.
I watched up to 4.
Okay, you saw the good ones. And Creed is really good. But yeah, the reason
Creed was wicked.
Yeah. The reason why I'm referencing Rocky V is because the end of Rocky V is very similar to the fight scene in this. It's in the street, and they're just like boxing. It's like a boxing match in the street. So when I saw this fight, I was like, it's cool because they're finally coming at it, but I feel like I'm watching the Rocky V.
Is that the fight scene where he did the Salat takedown?
What?
Is that the fight scene where he did the Salat?
The scoop?
Yeah. No, the shoulder. Wait, oh no, it was a scoop. Yeah, the scoop.
Yeah, the scoop, yeah.
That was in Pop Store, right?
Yeah, it was in Pop Store, yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was boxing, but there was some like little niches of things that you're.
You guys would have, you guys would know better than me.
Yeah.
How did you find the fight scenes?
I thought they were fun.
For Luke Cage, I didn't expect anything better.
Yeah.
Going
on to the second half of the season.
Okay.
What were your favorite parts about it?
The fact that they actually found something to hurt Luke Cage.
Now, was that thing made out of vibranium?
Yes.
Did they mention it?
Yes.
When did they
say it? No, they didn't. They're just like, it's not from here.
They said it's not from here.
They said it's from the incident.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, that's been, they're just like, oh yeah, it was from a spacecraft at the incident. So, and they're just like, so it wasn't from here? It's like, no, it's from the, like, from a different world.
Hmm. So, the vibranium that Iron Man, or sorry, that they make Captain America's shield out of from First Avenger.
Yeah.
Where was that vibranium found? Did they ever mention where that piece of...
I don't remember. It's been so long since I've seen First Avenger.
Okay.
Good movie, by the way.
Yeah. It was a great movie.
Because I'm trying to connect how much vibranium there is available, because it's
well, I mean,
it's from Wakanda, right?
Black Panther is sitting on literally a city of vibranium,
right?
Everything's made out of vibranium,
and that came from the Chitauri. Vibranium comes from the Chitauri. So
does that mean like
that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Going with Ultimates then at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
We're really getting off course here.
No, we're not though. We're not, because it all connects.
Yeah, it does.
Right. Eventually, these things are all going to connect.
Yeah.
Justin Hammer tech is in this movie, which is a great callback to Iron Man, too.
Yeah.
Right? So, it's worth asking, because people have actually asked me, saying, is that a vibranium bullet? And I'm like, I don't know if they say it outright.
Yeah, yeah. They pretty much
say, but they allude to it, exactly.
They're because, like, yeah, it's pretty much vibranium.
Right. So, I'm just trying to think of where the Iron Man, I keep saying Iron Man, the Captain America shield in the 40s, where they would have sourced that vibranium from. And then if they're saying this is from the incident, are we going to find out in Black Panther where his vibranium came from? If the Chitauri had at some point in time landed in Wakanda, because they got the underground city, right?
Yeah.
And if it was Wakandan vibranium that actually shot Luke Cage. Like, if there's some sort of connection.
But then we'll have Claw. Unless they do Claw in the Black Panther movie. Mm-hmm. Ulysses Claw.
Yeah.
And somehow...
Oh, didn't they say somebody else is going to be the villain?
Yeah.
Because Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. Michael Jai White.
Michael B. Jordan, yeah.
Yeah, he's the villain.
What's the villain's name in that again?
I don't know.
Oh, I've heard the gorilla.
What's the gorilla thing? I can't remember.
I forget now. No, it's not White Tiger.
No.
No. Okay. So it was a vibranium bullet that took him out. Yes. Okay. And so this Judas thing, it explodes in him as shrapnel. Is that the effect?
No, that's kind of just like one of the attributes that they added onto it. Okay. Which is like pretty much just a hollow point bullet, but with vibranium.
Okay. Right. That, for me, was one of the things I didn't like about the second half of the season. I felt like suddenly Luke Cage, for a couple of episodes, was just out conscious. Which was kind of I don't know. Just one of those things, like, is he going to come back, or is he just going to be limping for the rest of the season? Did you guys find that?
Yeah, I did. I felt like, and then especially once you found out, like, the cops had the Judas bullets, too. And I was just like, so now everyone has it. I mean, I could see this working out a lot better if Diamondback was the only one that had it, and he had a limited amount. But now, the whole, like, Harlem PD has it, and I'm just like, ooh, yeah, stay home, Cage. That barbershop needs fixing.
Where do you think he's getting all his clothes from? The amount of holes that get into his hoodies.
He just bumps into other people. Can I have your hoodie? You double XL? I got you.
Rather than running into Wu-Tang members. That guy, and they're card hearts, too. Those are nice hoodies, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, how perfect would it be is every time he gets his hoodie shot up, he runs into a different Wu-Tang member. Like, it's you. No, it's you. And at the end of it, he has, like, a collage of, like, selfies he's taking with Wu-Tang members.
That'd have been sick.
That'd be dope.
Everywhere, every bodega he goes into, he runs into some Wu-Tang member. Did you guys know that there is an actor who actually named himself after Luke Cage?
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's a comic book geek, too. He named his son Kal-El.
Yeah. But he named himself Nicolas Cage because of Luke Cage.
Wow.
Yeah, little tidbit of information in case nobody knew. I thought I'd throw that in there. His real last name's Coppola. The guy who directed Godfather, Francis Ford Coppola.
Okay, yeah.
That's his uncle.
Oh, no, shoot.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and you know Adrian from Rocky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Francis Ford Coppola's sister.
Oh, no way.
That was his family, but he didn't want to carry the name Coppola and be like, oh, you're just here because that's your uncle.
Yeah.
So he changed it to Cage. And
I have respect for that.
He took Luke Cage's name, which is kind of cool, right?
Little that's sick.
Comic book fun fact.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, as far as the cast, I asked you guys the cast what you thought about it. Who was your favorite casting of a character in it?
I liked who they got for Misty Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah, Misty Knight. I thought she was sick. Great.
Yeah.
Cottonmouth, really we all love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cage. I can't complain about Cage.
Yeah.
Coulter did good.
Yeah, he plays the character well. I feel sometimes he could be a little flat, depending on who he's sharing a scene with.
Yeah.
You know, he's a little bit wooden at times. Hmm. But that's okay. I'm sure as time goes, like, the story's so good and so strong, and the scenery and people who he's working with, like Rosario Dawson, makes these shows. She elevates she's each awesome. Season.
Yeah,
I think, and it's so cool to see her.
And she's a great way to put in like Easter eggs in everything, just because she's in almost every.
Yeah,
she's in all of them. Yeah,
yeah. I like how when Cage ends up going to jail, and then she's just like, "I know a good lawyer. I know a good lawyer."
And the thing is, she says that a couple of times where you're almost like, "Oh, Matt Murdock's got to be in this one. Like, he's got to be in the next one."
Yeah. Were you guys ever thinking that Jessica Jones would show up? I thought maybe she would.
No, I was expecting Danny Rand to show up. Honestly,
I thought there'd be some sort, but I was.
Not because they're best friends.
At the end of the last
episode.
I thought there'd be some sort of, like, thing connecting this to that. Other than Night Nurse. She gets the, peels the thing off of the telephone pole at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, right. The Colleen Wing.
Yeah.
Martial arts.
That's the number. Connection to.
Yeah.
So oh, do I you can't think wait. That.
He's so good. He's so good. You wicked.
Gonna be so.
Be amazing. Amazing.
Is that two or one?
That's two. We're going to count two. I had another thing I wanted to ask. Now I forgot what it was. Alfred Woodward. Black Mariah.
She was great. I don't think I could have casted anyone else.
She's the character that I hated, but, like, she did such a good performance of just being the person that you really didn't like in the show.
The only person I could think that could replace her, like, coming to mind, like, on the spot, Viola Davis.
They're, like, each other's counterparts.
Yeah.
I find.
Yeah.
Like, I confuse one with the other a lot of the time. There's a couple times I saw Alfred Woodward on something, and I was like, oh, there's Viola Davis, and she's like, that's not Viola Davis. I'm like, yes, it is. But I thought it was kind of interesting that she was, the actress, was the one who was the catalyst for what happens in Civil War. And now she's, you know, Black Mariah. I was thinking to myself, I'm like, was she the same character in Civil War? By chance, I wasn't sure what the character's name was.
Yeah, that is her.
It's the same actress, yeah. But I was like, could she have been trying to start something behind the scenes to affect the Avengers? I didn't know, right?
Yeah.
So, but then I saw that they're completely different characters. So it's kind of cool. She played two people in the same universe. That doesn't happen too often. Yeah. The thing that I did like about Diamondback and Cage, I liked the Cain and Abel thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how he kept linking, like, Bible,
yeah,
like, biblical scriptures in it. And the songs that they play, like, the music in this is awesome.
Yeah.
Even the scenes of Diamondback, Cottonmouth playing the piano, even those parts of it.
Which, he's pretty good.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Every time I was just like, yo, he can play.
Yeah.
But do you guys know who did the music, the soundtrack for the show?
I know Meth was involved.
Yeah.
He made an original song. I'm talking like the soundtrack of music that they played through, like, Cottonmouth, the actual.
Oh, no.
It was the DJ for Tribe Called Quest, Ali Shaheed Muhammad. He was one of the guys who did the score for the show.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah. So they had, like, a real deep well of rich music guys making the soundtrack for this.
So sick.
Yeah. Yeah. It was awesome.
Oh, worth it, though. Jeez.
Yeah. The one thing I feel the Marvel universe doesn't really have, other than Guardians of the Galaxy, is like a really strong soundtrack of music being played through it that sticks in your head.
Yeah.
Like, there was something I saw on a YouTube video, and they were asking people in the street, like, okay, do the Star Wars theme song, do the Superman theme song, all these popular, and everyone knew them.
Yeah.
Like, okay, now do a Marvel theme song. No one could think of one off the top of their head.
Spider-Man.
That's what they did.
Yeah.
But from the movies. What's Captain America's thong song?
Captain America's thong song.
What's Iron Man's theme? There isn't one. Like, nothing that really comes
when
to
you
your mind.
When you see Captain America's theme song, I just think of, like, the old school, like, cartoon when Captain America throws his mighty shield.
That's what comes to people's minds.
Yeah. When you said Iron Man, I saw the old 90s intro where he's in that workshop and he's hammering to make his suit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this show, I felt, really did a good job at utilizing the music. And because they were in a club, you can actually bring real artists. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was dope.
Like, Method Man exists in this universe. As Method Man.
Yeah.
Biggie. Faith Evans.
Yeah, Faith Evans as Faith Evans.
Raphael Sadiq.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, all of these people were the actual people, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
They fully, like, immersed the real world into their universe.
Yeah. Were you guys paying attention to some of the commentary the social commentary that they were making in the show, which is what it gets a lot of credit for in regards to, you know, the whole Black Lives Matter thing and
the surveillance of things happening between people of color in certain neighborhoods with the police and it being caught on camera and the racial profiling and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because I really like the scene where, you know, because Luke Cage, all he does is wear the black hoodie. And it became one of those things where, and I don't know if you listened to the podcast with Kevin Smith and Mark Bernardin, where he said that became his glasses.
That was his thing, was the bullet hole hoodie.
Yeah, that makes him blend in with the people, which I was like, it's an awesome point.
Yeah.
Because as the cops go through the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And everyone's wearing that.
Right? So it was very well-timed, and I think that a show like this, I don't know if it'll age it or if it'll stand the test of time because they did something like that.
Yeah.
You know, did that occur to you as you watched it? Those things that they were it was very purposeful, especially with when he got arrested and when they were trying to blame him for how the cops are being treated and what the cops should do to people.
Yeah.
Or did it just like...
No, I got all those messages and whatnot.
Yeah.
They did a good job of, like, putting that out there. Like, hey.
I got that, and then I ended up seeing articles online about how, like, Luke Cage is too black, and I was just like, what? You haven't seen those articles? People complaining about how, like, the show was too black. And I was like...
It's in Harlem.
That's what I said. It's in Harlem.
That's what I liked the best about it.
Yeah.
Was that it was so culturally centric. I love that.
Yeah.
Why would people... What was their complaint about that?
When I heard that, I was like, ooh, you better watch out when you go see Black Panther, because that is a whole lot of black. Like, Jesus Christ.
Like, the only white person that's actually going to be in that is Winter Soldier, and he's just going to be in a... like.
If he's even in there. Yeah.
What was their complaint about that? What do they want it to be?
I don't know.
Why don't they say that Jessica Jones is too white, or Daredevil's... Yeah,
too Asian. Or something.
It's stupid.
Too Asian.
Yeah, too Asian. There you go.
The hand?
Yeah.
Too Asian.
Seriously.
Too much.
I mean, he's the only white guy there.
I think it's awesome that, especially these Netflix shows, kind of show people, I think, what comic books can do in telling stories and how relevant they can be to society. Because a lot of people who don't know better be like, you know, it's just kid stuff, it's cartoony.
But it really isn't.
No, like these...
And it hasn't been for a while.
No.
Yeah.
And the stuff that's coming out on these Netflix shows, I thought it was kind of interesting, but the link between them was Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah.
And his interpretation
of each character.
Of each character.
Yeah. And I don't know if you noticed this, but a lot of stuff that he does... that Cage does out in the street, he does that in New Avengers.
Right.
He's like, so Captain America and Iron Man are talking about, you know, going into communities and helping everybody out. Not just like, okay, that guy's getting mugged, we're just going to like take him down. It was like Cage would go up to certain people. It's just like, hey, you're a kid, like you should be in school. And the kid's just like, why are you telling me what to do? It's just like, you should stay in school because that's what's good for you. If you're out here doing this, you might get hurt. You might end up in a gang.
I used to be in a gang.
Yeah.
Break yourself, fool.
No, seriously. He made points like that. It's just like, I used to be in a gang. Like,
there's no better. Like,
take care of yourself.
There's no better example than the source.
Yeah.
So.
And a lot of the stuff, like, that he does in, like, out on the street, is taken straight out of New Avengers. A lot of the stuff from, Daredevil. It's like a lot of Brian Michael Bendis stuff. Very, very heavy on Frank Miller, mind you.
Yeah, but, of course, because he created so much of that mythology. But it's when I watch these Netflix shows, it makes me kind of proud to be a comic fan because there's substance to it. There's commentary on social things that are relevant to our world. And they all started from... you know, the pages of a comic book.
Yeah.
So the Netflix shows especially do a great job of that. Now, do you guys prefer movies having a cinematic universe? Or would you rather have them be making stories like this? I mean, I know they couldn't do the effects on the scale that they can do a 2-hour movie, perhaps.
Yeah.
But the story, like, this is how these stories need to be told.
It's a well told story throughout the season, throughout each episode, right? It's hard to cram in something like Winter Soldier, right? They're able to do that within 2 hours. Okay, it's fine. Something like Civil War, it was huge.
That needs to be on a TV show.
Yeah. That's something that you could have actually done. That's a whole season right there.
I think all of them would be better done this way. And then if they had a culmination of, you know, a team up in a movie.
Yeah.
That you could make people go and watch and just catch them up quick, maybe in, like, credits.
Yeah.
To let them know what's going on. And here's, like, the action movie.
Yeah.
But I even said to my wife, I'm like, this is how they need to make a Batman.
Yeah.
You can't be telling, there's certain characters who they'd be better suited doing a movie like this.
Yeah.
Like, take the long Halloween, it's 12 issues, make 12 episodes.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to say it, but do Hush.
Yeah, do Hush. Yeah, exactly. Like, it'd be incredible.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, this is the way Daredevil should have always been told. It can't be summed up in a 2-hour movie.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Like, comic books are episodic. And they're serialized, and that's how they need
not
to tell.
Not just that, like, it keeps you hanging.
Yeah.
Like, it keeps you guessing, like, what's going to happen next? I'll watch the next episode. I gotta read the next issue.
And the characters have time to develop, and they're given, there's a weightiness to whatever may happen or not happen to them. Like, you care more.
That's yeah. What I love about it, because, yeah, like, people are always like, oh, you know, comic books, that's for kids. And so, like, and you'll be like, but no, it's not. And they'll be like, oh, well, okay, if you say so.
And then they watch
but then Netflix. They don't, and yeah, they watch the Netflix because they're not going to read the comic book. And they're like,
I never so
this is
it.
What happens in those books?
Yeah,
well, books are like, better.
You do not even understand. This is not all that happens in the books. There is some stuff that should be happening here that are in the books that are way worse than the books. Like,
yeah, like all know. The stuff that happened in Jessica Jones, that's not everything that happened.
No, Jessica Jones, the book is much more...
It's much more graphic. It's much more deeper and...
Yeah,
exactly.
Scarier, actually.
Yeah. And that's the stuff of nightmares, man.
That's the best way to get someone who, like, with that mentality, to get them into comic books or get them into the characters. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I tell people all the time, like, there's people who always... They have an opinion of what they want it to be and how they should be and... they come to me and ask, like, oh, did you watch this? What'd you think? Well, that's not how it's supposed to be. I'm like, if you're so into it,
yeah,
hit up the comic shops and get on the sauce. Like, this, that's so much better than whatever you're going to be getting from the movies.
Yeah.
And you know what's great about these? Everyone knows the superhero. Everyone knows how they are now.
Yeah.
Doing the TV series is the best way for you to see how they get there. You know what I mean? You get all the time. Thing.
Yeah.
You put all the details you want.
Yeah.
You don't have to cut anything big.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's you're so much more engaged. And it doesn't... Yeah, it takes up more of your time, but I've spent 2 hours in the theater where I'm like, man, I wish I got that back. And I've spent 13 hours watching this, and I'm like, I want to watch it again.
Yeah.
I'll give you... Well, what are you doing this weekend? I'm sitting home watching Marvel Netflix.
And it's a great way to get, like, because every superhero has more than one iteration of their suit. This is a great way to do all of them.
Yeah.
Because you see season one of Daredevil. He's all black Frank Miller suit.
I think people are preferring that now.
Yeah.
They're like, I like the black, all black pajamas. With the bandana.
It's gangster. Over. Oh my gosh.
It looks so sick. Yeah,
and it's like, not only that, but it's pretty like intimidating. If someone came up to you like that with no face, like that's a black Slenderman. Like, you know what I mean? But you just see the mouth. He's got kind of sticks. He's wearing all black. Like, yeah. You feel like
all
you're going to get robbed.
All you see is the sticks in the mouth. That's
you
terrifying.
Feel like you're going to get robbed.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But like, Daredevil's costume is sick. And I just like the way that they went from that. And at the end of the last episode, they went to the red suit.
And they build it up, though. Like, they don't just... He doesn't just get into a suit because he buys it.
No.
Yeah. You see Kingpin have some type of fabric that protects him. That plants a seed. Like, seeds are planted in these shows. And just like in the Luke Cage, like, seeds are planted to explain how he got from here to there and why this is an issue.
Yeah.
What did you guys think about seeing him in the costume?
Dude.
Okay, the throwback, the old school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was freaking out.
That was awesome.
Dude, that's so sick. That's amazing.
It was for 2 seconds, but it was like the right amount of time. But, oh, man, I was just like...
But they put it.
And they put it in there. They put it in there, and they made it make sense.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
As because it's a ridiculous costume that you would never wear today.
Why would you ever do that? And the reason why they did it was like...
I almost think it'd be awesome to see him wear it one time just because it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, like, imagine that guy dressed like that coming to you, and you couldn't hurt him. Like, you punch him, and you break your hand.
They gave it to us.
Yeah, and the tiara with
bell
the
bottom, like
with the chains, even
the chains for a belt.
They did it all.
Jeez,
that was great. Even with the yellow blouse,
the yellow shirts. He looks in the window. I look like a fool.
It was perfect, though.
Do you think he should have some sort of? Should you just stick with the black hoodie, and we're good?
I think he should always wear a yellow T-shirt.
Black hoodie is fine. I want him to have a yellow shirt under, but there's a point in time where I want him to get a bulletproof yellow shirt because I'm getting frustrated. Look at, I'm like, oh, that's another shirt. I mean, like, what do you like,
every day, hold like, on. That's what
I gotta
saying.
Do this, but I gotta run home first. Like, if you're ever in the Avengers or the Defenders team, you're just gonna be at that point, you're just like, screw it, I'm walking out in my tighty whities.
Like, you should just wear one of those, like a yellow, like one of those fishnet tank tops.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a Rasta. Like a bald Rasta. Just have
fishnet freshies.
Yeah. Just make a yellow one. Just like that.
Yeah.
So it already has the holes in it.
But I mean, like, they could do modern Luke Cage. Give him like a compression tee, like an Under Armour shirt or whatever.
That's good.
Something that looks like that.
Yeah.
But look, it's bulletproof. Cool. I mean, at that point, you might as well give him a ring that has an extra shirt in it. Like, you know?
Like a flash ring?
Yeah.
Just puts a new one on all the time?
Exactly.
So, in the books, if I'm not mistaken, is Misty Knight with Danny Rand?
Yes.
Was she ever with Luke Cage?
Not to my knowledge, no.
But he was with Night Nurse. He did have a relationship with Night Nurse, right?
I think they and Jessica Jones, they did stuff.
Him and Night Nurse?
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Yeah. Jessica Jones? Like in the Jessica Jones.
Not
the Netflix series.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah, in Alias.
Him and Misty Knight?
No.
Him and Jessica Jones, but they're married.
Yeah. They have a kid. Him and Night Nurse.
Him and Night Nurse have
a
relationship.
Had a thing in
the references. Jessica
Jones. Yeah.
Okay. So do you think in the next upcoming series he'll be back with Jessica Jones, or are they going to continue to pursue the Night Nurse thing? What would you prefer?
I want to see the Jessica Jones thing because there's always the running jokes with Power Man and Iron Fist that run along with Jessica Jones.
Right.
It's perfect.
Because she whips him into shape.
Yeah. But the thing is that she swears all the time.
And he can't.
And he doesn't.
Fiddle faddle.
And then Danny's just like, why aren't you swearing? Like, I don't understand. She just cusses her head off. It's like, no, man.
It's like, no one is here.
Like, you're singing Sweet Christmas and Oh Golly Gee.
Fiddle faddle.
Yeah, fiddle faddle.
No fiddle faddling.
Yeah. I like that book. That was a good book.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
The whole, like, oh, man, this is a Father's Day present.
Which I actually ended up saying that line in real life. And Jazz is like, ha ha, Luke Cage. And I was like, what? He's like, he says the same thing in that. And I was like, yeah, that's right. I read that issue 2 days ago.
He's Luke Cage. I'm Iron Fist.
That works. Because
the thing is that he'll be on the phone with his wife. He'll be like, oh, you know.
And we're training other people and stuff, and I'll be on the phone, and Jazz will be like showing a lock or a block in the counter or something, and he'll be like, oh, tell Jazz I said hi. And I'm just like,
I'd never say it.
And the whole thing is that, like, whenever Power Man gets off of the phone, Danny will be like, you never say hi to her. This is why she hates me. Whenever I go over to your house, she hates me. And, like, that's the running thing, too, between us. It's just like, she hates me, doesn't she?
Art imitating life.
Yeah.
That's what he should wear. He should wear his, like, a vest with the tie, the yellow dress shirt.
Yeah. Right? And like, because for work, right, I cut steel. Right? Okay. So there are instances where I end up having holes in my shirt because of it. Like, the corners will just rip through it and stuff, or I'll get stabbed there and whatever. And I'll come into Cyber City, and then she'll just be like, ha! Luke Cage! I was like, oh, yeah, okay. All right, I'm Luke Cage. Okay.
Would you rather be Iron Fist?
Who wouldn't want to be Iron Fist? But, I mean, Luke Cage has swagger, man. Like, that whole formal getup, that's how I want to dress in my wedding. Like, I want the formal pant. Like, I don't dress normal, all right? I feel every time, like, if I'm just wearing a button-up shirt and it's, like, plaid, and you give me jeans that are, like, kind of fitted but not too tight, I'm like, I feel like I'm in a monkey suit. Like, me, I'd rather just wear, like, a regular pair of jeans or joggers, vest, a sweater underneath, a normal shirt, and I'm fine. I'm good to go. Right? That's me during the winter.
Yeah.
If anything. But yeah, like, I mean, when I saw him and he's wearing his formal getup, I was like, yo, he's in the comic books, he's wearing his the pants, the shoes, the vest with the
long watch. Sleeves. He's even got, like, the gangster watch.
And with the long sleeves, that's my thing. Wearing long sleeves for me are weird, especially if they're, like, the formal button-up shirts. I gotta roll them up to, like, past my shoulder or my elbow. I can't. Long sleeves are weird like that. I can't.
Yeah. No, I don't even feel.
Unless it's a blazer.
That's a tangent. We're talking fashion now.
Anyways.
So we wrapped up, you think, for Luke Cage talk?
Yeah.
Anything else you wanna leave off saying? Anything we left out?
Cage is so sick. That's it. That's all I gotta say.
That was close.
Do you think... A lot of people are kind of saying, because of how good these last couple series have been, Iron Fist better have some sort of...
Iron Fist is going to be so good.
What do you think... How do you think they'll make it relevant in order for it... Other than it being just him going to Kunlun and training or getting the power... Like, how do you think they're going to address it? What are your predictions for it? I mean, we're most likely going to be wrong, but... Do you think that they're going to... Because he is in the Rand Corporation, you know, he's a person of wealth and influence. Do you think that they'll tie it in with some sort of political connection or intrigue? Where what's the guy who was partners with his father in the Brubaker book?
Meacham or whatever.
The guy who had his father killed.
Yeah,
is it Meacham? Do you think? Do you think they're gonna go from that angle and make it some sort of political corruption?
I think they might. Because they've already casted the family.
Okay.
Like, in San Diego Comic-Con, they're like, oh, meet the Meacham family. And I was like, what? And they're saying how Iron Fist is going to have a lighter tone. Because I think they're going to start off... What they're saying is they're going to start off when he comes back from Kunlun. So he's walking around barefoot. That's why he's got the scruff and everything. And he's coming into society. He's coming back into society after all those years, totally clueless. And that's why it's going to have a lighter tone. So.
I think it's going to be great.
You're just happy with anything, though. Just to see. If you see so Danny Rand with a dragon tattoo on his chest, you're going to be, this is great!
But
that's all it'll take for you.
I was losing it when I saw it. I'm like,
It's because it's a good time to be a nerd, man. Yeah. This is one of Jazz's favorite characters. And of course, he's going to be psyched. It's like
so good, and the thing is, it's
that's not... him experiencing what people back in '89 experienced when they saw the Tim Burton movie and they're big Batman fans. This is his Tim Burton Batman movie.
Not just that, because I'm a huge martial arts buff. They're doing the whole axe gang thing, which is very like eccentric in a lot of kung fu movies. Like if you ever watched Kung Fu Hustle, it's like the axe gang is the thing. What was it? Shaw Brothers movies. Very, like, axe gang.
There's a gang with axes.
Yeah.
And every episode for Luke Cage was named after a gangster track.
Iron Fist, every episode is going to be named after a kung fu move.
Wow.
So we're definitely searching that up, putting that in our training, and thinking of ways to use it and, like, stuff and things we can do with it.
Combatively, non-combatively.
Self-defense.
If you, knowing that you like kung fu and, you know, the you like Shang-Chi, obviously,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And Iron Fist. So there is... I'm going to shout out another podcast here because I'm a big fan of it, but Comic Book Geek Speak.
Okay.
Ever heard of it? So they did a spotlight episode on Iron Fist, Power Man, and Shang-Chi. And they give you like a good 2 hours worth of just talking about their history and their background and like their whole comic book mythology. Yeah. So if you like it, look up that episode. You'll love it. Because they go into detail. Like, I learned so much about Iron Fist, like when he was first created, and when I heard it, I'm like, oh, I better correct it on the show, because we thought that it was Chris Claremont, and was it Claremont and Byrne, who we thought created Iron Fist, and I think it was Roy Thomas, who actually created him.
Was it just Roy Thomas?
Roy Thomas and, oh, I don't want to misquote it now, I think Gil Kane,
I know Gil Kane drew it.
Yeah.
And Chris Claremont was the one that wrote it.
He wrote after he was created, after Iron Fist was...
He did, I'm pretty sure he did the Marvel Premiere issues, didn't he?
I don't know. But when I was listening to it, they had both said that the creators were... Don't quote me, I'm going to check it again.
Okay.
But I was like, oh, that's something I should tell Jazz, because I had asked you.
Yeah.
And you weren't 100%, but then I was like, these guys know, so he'll be interested to know. I think it's Roy Thomas and Gil Kane.
Okay.
We
said Gil Kane last time. It was Gil Kane and Chris Claremont that we said.
Yeah. It'll probably be in one of the books where you can look it up so you create it. So, Luke Cage, what would you rank it out of 10?
Like a 9?
9?
So much I loved it.
9, 8.5.
Yeah, I'd go 8, 8.5.
Yeah.
Alright, awesome. Well, I think that's a good spot to put a pin in it for this episode, boys. Thank you guys for joining me this week and talking about Luke Cage. I know how excited you were to talk about it, and I hope everybody that's listening enjoyed the series as much as we did. If you haven't had a chance to watch it, be sure to binge watch it or take some time out of your week to catch up with the Luke Cage and give us your thoughts on it. What did you think of the series? How does it measure up to the other stuff that Marvel Netflix series have done? Send us an email at caveofsolitude@outlook.com or follow us on Facebook. Leave a message on our Facebook page, Cave of Solitude, or you can search for Eric Anthony, and we'll be sure to communicate back with all of our listeners. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will be back to you before you know it. Because once we tear a layer of this onion, there ain't no turning back. Attack titans in boots, Bruce with gamma rays. You can't touch this, plus this empty camera weighs a ton like the oldest sons. So when this flow is done, I'm dropping mics and y'all ain't got the mic to hold it, son. I run with a squad supreme that foils varying plots and schemes. Pop out balloons and dreams. Me and my queen spit the renaissance of y'all chillin' reminisce. The boys from the bunker come through swinging and scrimmage sticks. No choruses, no gimmicks this time, we keep it rocking. I'm back from the future, almanac in back pocket. We pass every war shack, failure is not an option, and I'm chilling with you.